Hello and welcome to the Navy Blue Corner. I'm Ian, joined as always by my good mate Lockie. And the Blues, look, they have lost their first game for 2024. The undefeated streak has come to a sad and quick end in an absolute nail biter at the hands of the Adelaide Crows. It was a frustrating loss, and like always, we'll discuss all the biggest talking points from the game as we build towards another big game. They're coming quick and fast, this time against the top of the ladder and undefeated GWS Giants. Lockie, how are you feeling about everything Carlton after our first loss? Is the sky falling for you? Keen to get all your reactions straight away.
I mean, it's rarely falling for me, as you know, with the Blues, but it does happen at times. So I'd say I'm a little more fragile than I was a week ago, but like you said, that's why it's good. That's the beautiful thing about footy. Most of the time is, you know, you have next week to turn it around, which I think we will.
No, I'm very much in agreement. It wasn't ideal. Pretty frustrating occasion. We'll chat about everything to do with that loss and all the big issues and how we can maybe fix them as we head towards the GWS game. But yeah, it feels like it's been a long time since we have lost a game of footy. And it's a different feeling now when you lose a game compared to last year. Is there a bit more maturity in knowing that we've been able to bank a few wins? It is very interesting. But before we jump into Navy noise, we announced it last week and we weren't here with Lockie, so keen to bring this up right now. For those who are watching on Blue Abroad that missed it last week, those listening on the pod who haven't been on socials, don't know what you're doing, but we've got new merch for 2024. I'll chuck it up right now on the screen if I can. Here you go. Have a look at that beautiful bit of merchandise. Got it behind me. And basically, this will stay behind me until we sell out. So if you're sick of looking at it, if you're sick of me talking about it, buy them and it can basically stop. All the links to the merch will be in the show description. I'll chuck it in the comments as well, live on Blue Abroad for you. Head over to our big cartel. Hate to always do like the soppy kind of plea to you guys, but basically, because it feels so maybe inauthentic to do it and annoying, but look, the podcast is a big passion project for us. We don't ask for a lot ever because we just love giving our time and talking Carlton, but really all the any money that is made from these t-shirts basically just goes back to pay the amount of debt that we are in from everything that goes into running the podcast the whole time. We're not making millions of dollars off this thing. So if you want to help and support us, that's why we've got the tees there for you. And we tried to put a lot of effort into these, into the design, into the quality of the fabrics as well. Because we don't just want a money grab here. We want to give you guys something. So if you love the tees, love to wear something to the game that isn't just, you know, a Guernsey. I know there's a bit of controversy on what age limit are you allowed to wear the jumper, which is kind of a stupid conversation anyway. But if you don't want to wear the full Guernsey, grab a t-shirt. Navy blue is big as well, so maybe it doesn't look like you're wearing a podcast tee. It's great.
Head over to the big
Not that there's anything wrong with that at all, but mate, big cartel right there. Buy them and I'll shut up. But Lockie, let's head into Navy noise. Let's talk about all the big stories from the game, and then you'll get a bit of a theme from the topics that we slowly tune it into the GWS preview. But
yes.
It's our first loss for the season, first loss in a while. How are you reacting to it? There was a few people that weren't super happy. Maybe they've forgotten how it feels. A lot of level-headedness to some. It was all kind of spectrums of things. Is it a bit of a reality check for you? Did it, you know, were some of the close wins papering over the cracks? Have the issues always been there? Is it just a blip? I'm really keen to hear your thoughts and how you did react to the loss against Adelaide.
I love it, mate. This is our weekly therapy. We're always going to have this little part, you know, dissecting the last game because it's important to us. I definitely am a bit of everything that you just described. I've gone through all the stages of grief, I suppose, in the past few days since the game. Like on one hand, I'll just start the episode with a nice little fence sit and say that on one hand, it just felt like, to me, the perfect storm for Adelaide to win this game. Like everything just went right for them, and it just seemingly felt like everything went wrong for us, and they've kind of been a little bit of a bogey team for us already. Like, they were 0-4, we were 4-0. Like, the writing was on the cards even before the game, not even to talk about everything that happened in the game. So there's that, which makes me want to say it's just a full blip on the radar. But then on the other hand, all we have to do is then look back at like the margins of victory that we've had this season and that kind of thing, and you go, okay, have we shown that we are a premiership contender? I'm not saying that that's more of a devil's advocate approach, and where I can empathize with people maybe overreacting.
No, I mean, that was the big thing heading into this game for me. I was a little bit stressed. As soon as I got to the game, I started to feel all the nerves. You see, the chero was laid out. I know there was
Yeah,
sort
it
of
fell off.
rumblings in the few days before that, whether he had picked up some sort of injury. And when Pitto comes in, which we will discuss, that's one of the big sort of talking points. But yeah, it was Adelaide's season was basically on the line. You don't lose five in a row and make finals. And they were in a bad umpiring decision, basically away from playing finals with that. I think it was Ben Keys as well, shot at goal that was a goal that they called a point that cost them. So they haven't started well. And I think their strengths definitely can hurt us. We've seen it in the past. Their style of footy plays well against us. And so it was always a little bit of a worry heading in. You knew they were really going to come out firing, and it was just how we were going to react to it. Frustrating that it was another close game. And we had said that there was such a maturity to the way we handled a lot of the closing games. Recently, we had that massive record of all of our last games that have come between the margin of sort of 6 points and under. We've won them all. We've won the close games. And we said on this podcast, at some stage, you're not going to win one of those. You can't just do it every single time. Can't have
Of
that sort of
course.
escape artist mentality. And I think the way I'm trying to level-headedly take my reaction from this is, look, you're going to lose games of football. It's really kind of not the greatest bit of analysis there, but sometimes you will just lose to a team worse than you. Even look at Melbourne this week. They were flying, looking
Oh,
like
mate.
one of the top four premiership contenders. They just lost to a Brisbane Lions at home that you didn't expect them to. They didn't play well at all. And we lost to an out-of-form Adelaide. You can't be perfect, and that doesn't excuse the performance at all. I'm not trying to say that, oh, sometimes you just have an off day. But right now, it is not me trying to look at this super negatively and, oh, the sky's falling. We've lost. We're horrific. All those close losses mean, also all those close wins, maybe we probably should have lost those. Not trying to delve into all of that. I'm looking at this in isolation, saying that right now it's all about what we learn from this and how we bounce back. Yes, some of these issues were sort of bubbling under the surface, but we've got tough fixtures coming up now, and maybe we're going to rue the loss a little bit because it's one we should have won against an opposition we should have
For
beaten.
sure.
But highlight the issues, learn from them, improve. That's my rhetoric heading from this loss.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, yeah, of course. I always come with these things with like this, optimistic bias, I suppose. But if you just don't think about the records, like you said that they're out of form. We hope that we're a top four team. So many people thought Adelaide were a top eight team. Some people, like I said, pushing top four team. Like that's where they were at. So it's like, if you take that, if you step back and look at it that way, there were so many things just about the situation in general. I like that you talked about other teams, like the Giants, obviously top of the ladder. They played the Saints on the weekend, which I watched. Saints are not a team that I rate very highly. They were one mark away from losing that game. And then what does that say about them? They're in the same situation as us. So that's everything kind of surrounding the game. But then also we can get into the things that actually happened. Like obviously the injury, Pitt, and so many individual things as well, which we can talk about. But
And I think my last sort of overarching point on how I'm trying to think about the loss moving forward and trying to get a bit of perspective from it was just these little things. We had more scoring shots in the end, so we
Oh, mate.
clearly we had chances to win or up by 16, which we'll get into, the always Harry sort of thing right at the end there. And you take all of those things, put them together, and look at us compared to how we have been in previous seasons. my, and you can say that this is a ridiculous take. I'm keen to get everyone's thoughts in the comments watching this live on Blue Abroad. And I want to know your feelings. I want to know, are you really saying that this was on the cards, that it was building for ages? We're not as good as we think we are. Want to know everything. And if you're listening in podcast form, at Navy Blue Corner is where you can get in touch with us. I really want to know where everyone is at a few days removed from this, because again, how I'm seeing this is, we had these chances and put ourselves in positions to win, while I think we played pretty poorly for the whole game. We were not great. We didn't rock up with a great energy. There were so many errors. So many things went wrong. For us to be at a level where we played so poor, yet got ourselves in many positions to win this game, I think that says a lot about the quality that we have. Whereas this game last year, this game 2 years ago, we're losing that by 40, 50 points from how the opposition was and how poor we were. So I think the positive side is, we clearly have improved, and there is some positive, I think, to take from that.
Yeah. No, I like that a lot. Just one note that I wrote down, because I was like, I have to look into this in terms of, like, what Adelaide were. Like, the fact that they kicked 16 goals for, like, that 4-goal-to-1 behind ratio, like, that... A ratio like that has happened in one other game this year, and it was Geelong over Hawthorn. And even in that game, Geelong still had more scoring shots. Like there's just so many aspects of this game where if it just was a little bit tweaked, like you said, we would have just gotten over the line. And that is like, I guess, not looking at the cracks, because it's so... I don't know about you, but I just find it so hard to separate the result from, like, what happened throughout the game. Like, if Owies kicked that goal, are we going to be sitting here, you know, in this same mood? We're just not. And it's just another week of, like, you know.
Yeah, oh, 100%. Like, you kick that goal so, and it's the narrative completely shifts to, look, we weren't great, but we found a way again. And and that's the issue with these close games. Exactly. My issue, I think, a lot more on this result in particular, and probably more the performance, was, I think, compared to the Freo game, there was a lot more that I liked from the Freo game. I thought we defended a lot better. There was more aspects of positivity, whereas this game, there wasn't a lot of that. Most of the game, I thought we don't deserve to win this at all. There's no part of me that really thinks we have played better, but I still obviously want to win, and we should have. And we will get onto a lot of those points sort of specifically, but just to touch on the scores.
Yes.
They were a lot more accurate, clearly. It's a ridiculous goals and behinds tally. But interestingly, if you look at the expected score from this game, the actual score was, we were 98, Adelaide were 100. The expected score were, we were 93, they were 96. So it was clearly about the quality of shots regardless, more than potential accuracy. However, they miss a couple of those, and who knows what happens. But main talking point that really started this game was the late change. Chera comes out, Pitto comes in. Now, not a like for like, a very interesting selection. A lot said that the game was lost then and there on selection. It's a big talking point, as always, not as much this year as far as the team selection and the team changes. How did you feel about this? Was that where the game was lost for you? I know the clearance game tended to look better, but was it at a kind of at what cost did we lose because we changed what was working? Really keen to get your thoughts on that team selection change. And is that where you felt we lost the contest?
I personally, it might sound harsh. I don't know. I can't hear the words before they come out of my mouth. But I think it's kind of narrow-minded if you think of it in that way. Like, there's just way too much nuance in footy to me for one selection to have that much effect. I don't want us to go throughout the entire season with an approach of, like, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Like, I feel like there's times for that. But things like this, like, we've kind of mentioned it every week. Like, are they going to try this? Okay, they didn't try it. Are they going to try and bring Pitt in? All right, they haven't tried it. And they decided that this was the week to try it. And we lost. And maybe would, and it's again, separating that from the outcome is really challenging. Like, I didn't think it was bad, but I also didn't think it was as good as when it was Harry and TDK.
Yeah. And this is the interesting thing that I love what we do on here and the discussions that we are able to have and what you really bring, because I need this. I need these kind of discussions. It doesn't work in my
So do
head.
I.
Bringing in Pitto, I want a devil's advocate things a little bit.
Do
Everyone
it.
was saying, what are we doing? Why are we? It's not a like for like. Why would you possibly do this? And to defend it, whether I agree with it or not, I think the reasoning, you can kind of make sense of it. You look at our injury list at the moment. We don't have a midfielder to bring in for Chera. If we have Doherty, if we have, I don't even know, we don't have that many midfielders anyway currently, but if we have another forward and maybe a Kennedy style player wasn't in the 22, you can bring him in. A Carroll can come in. Fortunately, they're already there. So that kind of is a bit of an issue surrounding this. I know Carroll was the sub, so maybe you could have pulled that lever, but I
Sure.
can understand that maybe Carlton thought, look, we've lost a midfielder. Clearances haven't been amazing for us. We definitely need to be first hands on the football against Adelaide because they have been winning that clearance and contested battle in their games. It's not a like for like, but Pitto clearly strengthens our contested clearance work. Because we have no midfielder, is that how we solve this problem? It's not a, square in a square hole. We have to change things up slightly to solve things. It's a weird problem-solving skill. So I can understand that. The issue was what we lost, and we've been asking for it. So I don't think anyone can say, we haven't been wanting to potentially see this because the clearances have been so poor. But it was evident that we really lost our run. And we got hurt on the rebound
Definitely.
because of it. And as soon as you lose and play it through injury, particularly a guy like Saad, it really stifles things. In an ideal world, maybe we get to three-quarter time and we sub a Pitto out and we go, okay, bring on the run. You cop an injury and that's a problem. Is that a reason why you maybe wouldn't have brought Pitt in? The issue of if there is an injury, you really lose out playing the two rucks in a 2024.
I guess so. I mean, I've mentioned this before. I always cringe when I see his time on ground at like 50%,
49%. What is that?
49%.
Why?
Like that hurts. Like that's definitely a negative in the pit corner. But to I like that you went with the midfield route because I actually was thinking about it more in a forward line sense. After this game, like it has been an issue for me for some time, and the stats back it up. Like the way that we go inside 50, the way that we take like our marks inside 50, if you know, if it's not the Twin Towers, like I'm so fucking sick of us hitting Fantasia in a 2-on-1, like in a marking contest, absolutely horrible. So what does this move do? Like if it's not Harry and Charlie, who else can take marks in the forward line? We have nobody to do that option without Martin if Elijah's playing further up the ground. So if Pitt comes in, then maybe TDK can do that. And let's try it again and see if, you know, if we have the three tools down there, what could that do? So there's something in that because my God, like if we're not kicking it to Harry and Charlie, and if the ball's not in Boydie's hands, like we're not taking a mark. And to your point earlier about where we're taking the shots from, if we are, it's, you know, it's not in a spot where it's for us. So it's really frustrating. And there's a chance that Pitt marking allows TDK to do that, but it didn't work in this game.
Yeah, sorry, you're a little bit choppy there, Lockie. I missed a little bit of what you said. I hope that's not my internet connection. Apologies, but basically, yeah, I kind of agree with you with a lot of what you said, and it's such an interesting thing because our clearances clearly were a lot better in this game, and I thought there were stages where you saw what Pitto brings to it, but I feel like we lost too much the other way. Like you're saying with the forward line, I wanted to see how it worked with TDK being another, target inside 50. How are we going with the three tall forwards? Didn't work. We weren't getting that separation from the three talls. We weren't being able to get a lot better looks inside 50. Did we lose something because Harry isn't able to play up the field, play inside sorry, playing like the center square and being able to actually win a lot more of the ball higher up the ground and create more space for us. I'm not sure. And it's this very small sample size. It's one game. Is that going to be how it works every single time playing the two ruckmen? Not sure. We clearly lost some element of our run, but I don't know. Again, I don't want to overreact from one game because we could easily come out this week, play the two ruckmen, and it works and it's amazing. And we go, yes, this is the combination to go forward. So it's very difficult to just say, we brought in the ruckmen, it was horrific, we lost, therefore never try it again. But I want more from every element of what we saw. But clearly for me, that wasn't just the only thing that went wrong. So Lockie, this will kind of be our pivot of what went wrong in the Adelaide game for you. What lessons can we take from the loss and build towards the GWS game? How can we sort these out? And I almost want to have this as a little bit of a thing going forward. When we bring up these, what went wrong in this game, I want also your, is this an overreaction from just one thing that went wrong one week? Or is this a real problem that needs to be addressed going forward? So I'm keen to know, do you have any key points on what were the big issues going from this game going into our GWS game?
Well, I think I want to hear your take on the forward line connection piece, because this is not new. It's a persisting issue, and it's a problem with personnel. And I think, and I'm concerned that it's an issue with game plan or mindset of players as well. Where are you at with that? Because I didn't feel like it was good in this game, and like to me, it doesn't feel like just a this game issue. It feels like we could have, if we maximize this in other games, they wouldn't have been close games.
It hasn't been great, and it hasn't been great for a long time. We've never been amazing entering the ball inside 50, creating a great deal of space. Sometimes we are bailed out a little bit by Perno and Mackay. It's such a tough thing. I would love, again, someone to be asking Vossi about this and things we're trying, what's going on, because the mid-forward connection isn't amazing, and then how it's working inside 50 is poor. The amount of times, not to single him out, but it's just an example, like a guy like I found Matty Owies was constantly getting in the way of the key forwards going up for marks, and that's not what you want. Our crumbing wasn't ideal. It started off really well. You know, I think Harry takes one of the marks early on and you're starting to go, okay, here we go. We're better than their key defenders. We're going to be creating a lot of space. It's a quick, short ground at Marvel, so you can, you know, exploit that and allow these sort of marks inside 50. But we aren't doing this. And I had this as a stat leading into the sort of blueprint to victory, but I want to find it here because I think it is quite interesting that we rank 13th for marks inside 50 in the AFL. That's not good enough right now. Mm-hmm. We should be with the
absolutely not
pillars that we have inside 50 doing a lot better than that. We should be at least in the top eight for chances inside 50 with those marks. And so that's a bit of a problem. And is it, I'll throw this to you. Do you think it's just an issue of the personnel that we have available? We know that this is really the area we've never had consistency with personnel. And we'll talk about the depth chart with some of the injuries we have, but you know, no Jack Martin, no Fogarty, no Cunningham, no Silvani, no Motlop. Mm. Those are guys, most of them pretty much, if they're fit, they're playing. So does it pretty change much, for you? Is it just an issue of personnel not being fit and available? We went the three small forwards. Is that an issue? Mm. Where are you seeing the personnel playing a role in it? Or is it more game style if you are to not fence it on this one?
I honestly do lean more towards personnel. Mm. On the small forward part, I think that is a papering over the cracks thing for me. That it's been there every week this season, being concerned that we're not getting enough of a total collective out of those three. And the wins have kind of allowed me to let that kind of slide. But like I mentioned before, with the Fantasia getting kicked the ball in a lead in a 2-on-1. Like, I think we're just missing that guy. When, I'm not saying that it necessarily needs to be him, but that third guy or even a fourth guy. Like, if we have more than two players that we can feel confident about as a target, I think it changes everything. Like, I don't want to just put all the blame on the kickers, the guys that are entering in there. Because I can imagine sometimes they're looking at their options there and it's like, okay, if Harry and Charlie are both absolutely manned and are getting double teamed, it's not a high percentage for me to put this on Dird's head. So I'm empathetic of that, but so maybe it's just personnel, but it's, I hate personnel being the reason, because you look at our injury list and it doesn't make it easy.
No, it's tough. Like Jack Martin, he brings a lot. He brings pressure. He brings marking ability, goal kicking ability, takes the pressure off. Charlie and Harry, they don't have to be the central figures. And we have seen that sort of throughout the whole entirety of this season, that forward line hasn't functioned perfectly. It really never has. It's sort of like last year when we started, like I think the Port Adelaide game is really the game for me where it felt like last season things were working amazingly. The way we were moving the ball was great. The forward line seemed spaced and we were getting really good looks at goal. That kind of hasn't been there. You look at the way Adelaide were able to have such in space, running into goal, really simple. You're not missing those chances. We aren't creating those ourselves. Are we asking guys like Fantasia to play different roles? Is he playing too high up the ground because of other players not being available? Not sure. And these are the discussions that are really interesting, that because of guys we don't have Martin, don't have Fogarty, don't have Cunningham, Silvani, Motlop as that forward. That's tough. That is most of your forward line depth disappeared. So you're running out of options of things you can potentially try, which I wonder if that's causing issues. But I don't know. I'm maybe putting this at the moment, and this can be something that we can revisit in the next month's time with the personnel we currently have available, on the coaches to sort this out right now, because we've brought in Jordan Russell. Okay. This is kind of the coaching move we've done in the offseason to improve things. Hansen, okay, more responsibility on the game day. You don't have to worry about the forward line now. We're bringing in a guy to sort this out. I have not seen necessarily this season an improvement in this area. No. So I'm sort of putting the blowtorch on, a guy like Jordan Russell and the coaching staff to be inventive, to sort something out in this space. Sure. Because I want to see how we're evolving, because that's always been an issue. We've talked about this for years. It hasn't been perfect so far. So let's find a way to sort that out.
I agree. What have you got in this department?
Yeah, look, it's been a bit of an issue. This is the worst I've seen it. It was just an inability to defend the ground. That was what lost us the game, really, in my eyes.
I agree.
Not only do we miss a lot of broken tackles and things like that that sort of let them through at the worst stages, the lack of energy and pressure early was a bit of a concern. You knew that Adelaide were going to come out strong, so were we prepared? What's happening in that space? But how many times do we just allow Adelaide to go coast to coast from a kick in? And it cost us, it gave me no faith in that last goal that they did kick, when Always doesn't kick that goal, Adelaide get the ball. And my issue was never with Always making that mistake. The issue is always, okay, don't let them go from D50, from the back pocket, and stream into goal, and we just let them walk through. And that unfortunately happened the whole time. So the team defense broke down quite a lot through the way that Adelaide were playing. It was quite poor. When I thought the week prior against Frio, probably the best we've defended as a team, even when certain elements weren't working well and Frio were dominating possession for quite some time. I even spoke about it in the preview that we were the top two team as far as defending from turnover. When we turned the ball over, we weren't allowing easy looks. That just wasn't there. And there was just too much space. It meant our back six were under a lot of pressure. I don't think they played well either. Thought Wiedering had a horrific game, but the team defense wasn't helping that. So this is something that We probably struggled with its stages. First half against Brisbane was the worst we have really defended as a team. That was on show again. So I think that is a bit of a cause for concern, but I don't know. I'll fence it on whether it's an overreaction or a real problem, because last week I thought it was our biggest strength.
Yeah. I mean, that's why, again, optimistic hat, I lean towards it being more of a one-off thing. With all of the, you know, things that didn't go our way with this game, and I don't know, I'm not within a football club, but I don't want to underestimate just how much difference it does make with Pitt in, like having that second rack into the structure, losing Saad, and obviously, and McGovern as well, like even though that was late, like... It's hard. That's big changes.
Yeah, and like a guy like Fogarty as well has been quite pivotal to our front half pressure.
I had it written down as well.
Is that? I don't want to just say if we lose one guy in our forward half that we completely go to shit. But is there? No. What are we doing to circumnavigate that loss? Who's taking up his role and how are we sorting that out? Because it feels like at the moment, I look at the way Brisbane moved the ball in the first half against us until Coleman went down. At stages, Richmond did it to us as well. Even North, when there is fast, direct ball movement, quick, short, chip, handballs building from the back, how are we defending this? It's been a bit of an issue so far, something we clearly need to get to work on, because we can't. That's sort of GWS's strength when we are playing them this week. They love to short handballs from D50, moving the ball forward. If we defend like that again, we're going to get absolutely destroyed. So we've just got to be smarter with the way we are defending. We can't be allowing so much space. And I want to put the blowtorch on Wiedering a little bit in his defensive performance on Tex, because even when there was a lot of issue higher up the ground in the breakdown of our team defense, thought he just gave Tex too much distance. It felt like, I don't know if the directive was he was meant to be in between spaces in the zone. I don't know, but it wasn't amazing. And you flip it the other way and seemed as if we weren't getting that kind of space in our forward 50. They were being able to intercept quite easily. So how are we going to sort that out this week, particularly without a McGovern, in allowing someone to roll off and be that interceptor rather than standing off and just letting Tex take so many marks, 40 to 50 out, which is his bread and butter.
Yeah, no, spot on analysis. But
yeah,
this is the weird thing about this game for me, is they're the two kind of key things that I kind of had in terms of what I felt like went wrong, which isn't, I guess, a whole lot in totality, but I still had this kind of icky feeling watching this entire game, which is kind of weird. So I just wonder whether some of the things are just, you know, just being minorly down in a lot of areas as well. I don't know if you have anything else on this one.
I mean, that was kind of my big takeaway in general, was just there was just a lack of... is it just energy? Is that the word I am looking for? There was something missing from the start. I felt it in the at the ground, and it kind of lasted for the whole game. We upped the pressure in that sort of third and fourth quarter, and we really could have had chances to take it away from them in the last. I thought we really upped it. But if you're playing in Adelaide, a team that you know you're going to come out at the start of the game really hot, if you're not matching that early, you're not taking that away, if that makes sense, where if you are on top at the start of a game against Adelaide, you don't let them in, you don't give them a sniff, they have no confidence, they don't build from that, they go, oh, we're 4-0, we've just had three goals kicked against us to start the game, our season's done. Whereas you give them a bit of a sniff early and they'll sort of hold on to things. And this kind of goes to my last real point from this game, that is something that I need us to learn from as we head towards GWS, is just around, I think, coaching and preparation. And we didn't seem to have answers for what I felt were kind of obvious things heading into the game. Firstly, I know I don't want to talk about too much of the Adelaide game, but this is kind of a big issue. Ben Keys. Lockie, Ben.
Yeah.
Freaking Keys. I was unfortunately surrounded by a lot of Adelaide supporters on level two on the wing. Felt like I was in the Adelaide cheer squad, which was not ideal for me. I don't enjoy being around that. And they, it was interesting. They don't like Ben Keys. The amount of murmurings at the start of that game, he got the ball and they're going, oh, this bloke, he can't kick for goal. He's a dud. That was the general consensus from about 30 Adelaide Crows supporters, which I don't watch a lot of Adelaide. I seem to see a lot of the games against us. And from what I've seen, Ben Keys is the best player in the competition because that's how he seems to play against us. Very frustrating again that I said, this is my, what do you want to see from going into this game? Don't want to see Ben Keys dominate us. It's happened again. Now, fun stats for you, Lockie. Ben Keys.
No, I don't want to hear it.
He's kicked three or more goals in three games of football. Can you tell me the opposition?
Oh, that's sad. That's sad.
Us every single time, unfortunately.
That's
and
crazy.
In the last three games he's played against us, he's kicked three. So what's going on here? And the game before that, we won, but he had zero goals. But he had 29 disposals. So we're still letting this guy win a lot of the football. So I was just a bit disappointed that last year was our big loss against them. It was, what are we learning from this? I said this going into our Brisbane game. You know, this is what we've been talking about all off-season. That was the game that cost us a grand final. What are you learning? Clearly not a lot, because it was still their fast ball movement, quick, short handballs, chopping through the middle of the ground, wanting to move through the corridor. So I was just frustrated that I'm not sure we learned as much. We didn't nullify that enough. We were quite slow to react. And I think we've been that all season. You look at the Richmond game, look at the Freo game. It's taking us too long to maybe adjust and move things towards the momentum shifting our way. Is that how you've seen things? Do you think that we've been a bit slow in solving certain problems?
Timmy Dab on Twitter did ask if we should be offering Keezy a lucrative contract, which I don't think is the worst idea. He is the new Tim Membry of only doing good things against us. Oh, I don't have a good answer for that one, Brownie. I was genuinely surprised when you told me before that he kicked three goals. I just didn't think he actually had that impact. Like, I need to go back and see what those actually were and whether they were, you know, lucky goals or not. I don't know. It's so hard. It's so hard with the adapting throughout the game thing of knowing, like, it's kind of what we just did in this segment of, like, is this a one-off thing or is this a trend? And so when things are going wrong in a game, knowing when to adjust and when to back in the plan, that's a really hard balance.
No, it's difficult. And then it's that other question of, did we stray too far from, did we put too much emphasis in the clearance? And this is like a, what are we trying to get out of these games? That's the interesting part for me.
Totally.
Because we've got to be so, like, we're coming up against an undefeated GWS this week who are playing really apart from the back half of that St. Kilda game, which, can you argue, you know, they lost one of their most pivotal players in Sam Taylor down back. And what adjustments can you make mid-game? We've got to be prepared for them and we've got to be smart. And I don't want to be going into that game and then going out the after it and going, everything we were knew was going to happen from that game happened. We didn't have a plan for it. Because it looked like that when you look at certain things in isolation, the Ben Keys, the ball movement. What was the plan? Because it didn't seem to work. And that's a problem in that. I do have one more big topic, which is kind of the mounting injury list, but I reckon we quickly go through our votes, put that game in the rear view so we can really, we've touched on a lot of key issues that will need to be addressed in our upcoming game, but the Navy Blue Corner Blue Bagger Badge of Honor Award, give me your 3-2-1, remembering that the two isn't just your regular two votes, it is who's kind of been above and beyond this week, who is really stepped up from what you expect of them. Drop your votes in the comments and at Navy Blue Corner, let us know your votes. Lockie, who have you gone this week? And we might do a bit of a leaderboard update as
I like the sound of that. One day we won't have to caveat my stupid voting system, but that day has not yet arrived. I didn't enjoy doing these votes this week, I'll be honest. it took me some time to really come to them. Not with the three, Walshie, obviously.
Yes.
Have we even talked about him yet? No.
We haven't. So we can use this as a bit of a love-in. A bit of a love-in of Sam Walsh for 10 minutes.
I mean, it's true, but I also don't want to harp on about it because it's just, you know, everyone that watched the game understands how insane it is that people were saying that he might miss the entire season, and then he comes back and does that in his first game. What the fuck?
He's not human. Not human.
No, he's not. He's the GOAT. I've gone, and again, I don't love these 2-1s, to be honest. I went with Williams with 2. Yes, he's just always been one of my favourites since he came to club, so it feels really nice to me that he's getting the consistency and, I guess, delivering at a level that, you know, is appropriate, I think, for a halfback now, you know, in a really good Carlton side. So specifically when Saad went down as well, I thought he held his own back then, which was good. And I've gone Cripper with the 1.
Interesting.
And I didn't, and I don't love this, and I went through all the names, and I'm like, you know, like Akers is someone that was getting praise I saw from people. I didn't necessarily love what I saw from him in totality, so I'm giving it to Cripper because I feel like he's, you know, Mr. Consistency, but don't love it.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to disagree on the Cripper one. I thought that was one of his more poor games, particularly disposal-wise. Okay. And it was interesting. David King threw out a stat sort of midweek that it's one of the worst. I'm trying to word this correctly because it was the weirdest. I've never heard of this as like a genuine stat before, but it was basically like his possession from like a might have just been centre bounces, potentially it was clearances all up, sort of all stoppages, but if he's the first person to get his hands on the football from a stoppage, his possession to clearance ratio is like one of the worst in the comp this season so far. He's like the guy you don't want the ball to fall in his hands from a ruck tap, which I was like, that I didn't seem to notice that so far this
year.
That
feels so wrong, doesn't it?
So watching it, and maybe this was just the issue, my magnifying lens was too much on it this week because I thought he was bit fumbly again. Some of his possessions just weren't super clean, getting us out of danger. But I mean, there wasn't a lot of great performances. I've definitely obviously given the 3 to Walshie. It was the big highlight in it, just seeing a guy first game back from a big injury, just he bought his own footy. It was ridiculous. So almost single-handedly solved the clearance issue just himself. Yeah. I gave the 2 to similar to you. It was Jordan Boyd. I didn't enjoy a lot of that game. I hate Marvel Stadium. I hate it even more with how loud everything was. Felt like they just turned the decibel meter up 100. I was getting a headache. I feel officially old where I'm like, why are we playing the music? Like, it's I can't hear the person next to me talk. Hated it, getting a headache. Jordan Boyd was the big little bit of enjoyment. You know, I've got clearly a man crush on this man. So my biases are there, and I put my hand up on that bit. Just his disposal by foot at certain stages was the thing that was making me smile at the football. It's like he's put this 50-meter bomb just on a dime for whoever, and I've gone, how does he do this every single time? He's just miraculous, and those are the little things that make me happy at the football. A great kick. It just is those simple little things. And speaking of simple, my one vote goes to Georgie Hewett. Thought his tenacity all game was unreal. Mm-hmm. It was a fair few times, just his work rate, being able to be in some chains on the wing that I really noticed being at the grounds that I absolutely love from him. Consistent performer all season and deserves a bit of a shout out. So the leaderboard at the moment for our votes in fifth place, tied on 4. We got a 3-way tie between George Hewett, Mitch McGovern and Lachie Fogarty. Gee, I'm hoping that that's not a trend there, looking at two of the names being injured. Georgie boy, I'm touching all the wood in the room currently. In fourth place, he's played one game, Lachie. It's Sammy Walsh on 6. He's coming for this award, coming for the number one spot already. Wietering in 3rd on 7. In 2nd on 8 votes, it's Paddy Cripps, our skipper. But leading so far, hasn't had a vote in a little bit here. Harry Mackay on 14, really. Bit of a distance between 1st and 2nd. Going to be interesting going forward how things happen. But one of the other big key points, pivots perfectly into our team selection in the blueprint to victory. Is the mounting injury list, Lockie, bit of an issue? Want to take a bit of a look at our depth chart that we made at the start of this season. I don't want to adjust anything. Don't want to change who's above who.
You nailed it, I'm sure.
We can do this in the mid-season and take a look at it. But what I wanted to do when I bring this up on the screen for those watching on Blue Abroad, if you're listening in audio form, feel free to head over to the lovely Blue Abroad YouTube channel and so you can visualize this a little bit better. But I kind of want to change some of the colors here for those who are injured. We've got McGovern. I'm throwing Marchbank into that right now. And I'm just talking about the main players because there are a few others that are injured here or there. But now we've lost Saad. We don't have Doherty. We don't have Chera. We do not have Martin, Fogarty, Cunningham, Silvani, Motlop. Let's change these fellas to red. That is out of our top 30 that we have there.
No one's left.
Mate, we've lost 10 of our top 30. So how big, I guess, I don't want to make injuries an excuse, but how much of an issue are these injuries right now and how can we kind of overcome those personnel issues?
Oh, like I hate that sentence about using injuries as an excuse. Like talking about injuries is valid to me. It's just important to, I guess, talk about how to overcome them, you know?
Yes.
Like I think it's okay for us to look at this and say that we are not in a great position when the list is looking like this. Yeah. What are we to say on this?
Well,
making me sad, Ian.
Well, I want to start to put this into the team selection because this is the big thing this week. So you're looking at some of the players that we have out at the moment. Is there a position that you're saying we're really struggling with, we're really thin with? And then I kind of want to get your team changes for this week with the players that are out. So take me through all of that, Lockie.
Take you through all of that. Well, I tell you what, I was too depressed to do actual full
Here we go. He's in London and he's getting a bit lazy.
I like workshopping this together. So can we start off?
Yes.
So are you feeling confident that every red name that you've done there will be available this week? Like, is that confirmed? Like, confirmed that, like, Chez, for example, he's not going to be, he can't come up?
No. So basically the only one that is kind of a 50-50 at the moment is Marchbank. Everyone else is there's 2 to 4 weeks on all those guys. It's not ideal. Is Motlop getting a little bit close up? Probably not. Marchbank's really, at the moment, the could get up for this. Missed with a bit of back soreness after the concussion. It is Marchbank, so you never know if that back soreness turns into 6 months on the sidelines. The poor bugger, he just seems to pick up the most rogue injuries. But let's say Marchbank, let's take him off. Let's say that he is up and available for this game. How does that change things? Let's go for the first one. Mitch McGovern's out. How are we replacing our one of our key defenders?
God, that's so hard for me to now decide between those two. I shouldn't have pressed you. Then I could have just said Lewis Young comes in. Because I don't know how I feel about Marchbank coming straight back in, I guess, from everything. What do you think?
Well, I can almost throw an even bigger spanner in the works. There's talk of even a Cowan coming in for Mitch McGovern. And this is really around, which he's got a bit of height. He plays a bit more of a marking interceptor. And if you look at the way Gov's played so far this year, hasn't really been that lockdown as much. They've gone, I guess, your Wietering and Kemp / Marchbank as maybe your more defender. McGovern has been more of a halfback distributor, moving the ball forward. That's something that Cowan is really good at. Watched his game in the VFL and played really, really well. I was quite impressed with his performance. Definitely putting his hand up in for contention. But I would personally be looking at more of Marchbank Young to cover that. Yeah. I mean, you're looking at GWS and how they match up at the moment.
I was going to say.
Got Jesse Hogan. You'd assume that is Wietering straight away. And then they've got guys like Cadman, still really young. Guy like Riccardi, little bit different in that sense. So I would assume that Kemp would go to a Cadman, and then Riccardi. Is that can you go a bit smaller potentially? But I think you put your best out there. So if Marchbank's ready to go, if he's fit, he comes straight in.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's the more I think about it, I'm starting to say if Marchbank's not there, I might throw Cowan in. Because I think I want us to move the ball from the back. And I don't know. Riccardi doesn't... I don't know if a Lewis Young works that matchup as much. What are you thinking?
Sure. Yeah. I understand. Oh, it just makes me nervous. I mean, any of these scenarios make me nervous. Mm. And bring any of those guys in, I'm not filled with a lot of confidence with any of them right now.
Mm.
But I guess, like I said, this is the time of the season to try things.
Mm.
So if bringing him in, and then you've got someone else that you like to bring in for Saad that gives you faith in that back seven, then I'll listen.
Yeah, well, there's a component as well that you can also, I guess, have Young come in and be a bit more locked down, maybe on a Hogan per se, and have Wiedering be a bit more intercepting, and they can kind of rotate through that as well. So at least I think there's options for the key defender kind of replacing McGovern. Then Saad, is it as simple as Chincotta? If he is okay, they seem to manage him in the VFL, didn't play. Not a lot of word out from that. I'm assuming that it was a case of, Jesus Christ, we cannot have him get injured this week. Let's just make sure he's 100% ready to go. Is he, if he is ready to go, that guy that comes straight in for Saad, or is there someone else that you are allowing to come straight in? Is it a Cowan for you?
I think he very much deserves his first crack at senior footy this year. I feel good about that.
Yeah, I'm very happy. I'm happy to see Chincotta, and I like that he has been someone who has been trialed a bit higher up the ground in the midfield in the VFL this season. If that's an issue that we need more numbers, you can, you know, move the magnets around a little bit. Does he get some time on the wing? Does he get time half forward playing that kind of dock role? Wouldn't surprise me if that's an area they go down. Weirdly, wouldn't surprise me if Cowan and Chincotta come in and we use Cowan down back to replace a bit more lockdown to really free up a Williams and Boyd
more.
And Chincotta just plays higher up the field. There are some options for that.
Don't mind
it's
that.
The other areas that are interesting.
Yeah.
Are you playing Pitternet again? Are you making any changes to the front six or seven? Lockie, where are you seeing the team at this stage? And I'll throw another name out there who maybe hasn't performed so far this year. There's been a lot of rhetoric around, does Ollie Hollins need a bit of a go back to the twos and just get a bit more confidence because you haven't been playing to the standard we saw last season? Where are you seeing that kind of midfield mix and front half of the squad?
No chance I'd be doing anything with Ollie with this situation that we're looking at right here. That was a nice to have kind of thing to talk about like 3 weeks ago. Not now.
Mm.
Oh, mate, this is fucking hard. Like a quarter into this game, I thought to myself, I feel like it's Fantasia's time for a bit of a bell. And he's not giving me enough at this stage. But I'm looking at what we've got here, and it's like where if he goes out or if you pull Pitt out, what does that do for this side of things? It's crazy. Like I look at Jack Carroll and it's like, surely he's getting a full game. Would you agree?
Yeah. Yeah, I have Pitto coming straight out. And I know people are saying Briggs is a big boy, but I thought we lost too much. And I want to go back to what worked straight away. Bring in Carroll into that midfield, get the run back. Because I think you saw when there's an injury, how much we lose when we've got the two ruckmen. And if we're going to play Pitto 49% of game time again, we can't be doing that. That is not acceptable at this stage with what we have and what we're trying to accomplish on field. You can't be having a guy that's only playing half a game of football. So I'm taking,
I agree.
At the moment, Pito's out, Carroll comes straight in, and then, I don't know, does an Ashton Moyer come in for an Owies or a Fantasia or a Durden? I don't know. I, at the moment, I'm not seeing enough from an Ashton Moyer to say he has to come in. So unfortunately, with personnel, I'm keeping the rest of the forward line the same, but I'm bringing Binns in as the sub. I want some more legs. I want some run. Oh, he was impressive in the VFL again, winning a lot of the ball, creating a lot. And he can also kind of play that high half forward role if you require. Maybe does that allow a guy like Elijah to play a bit more on the ball? Because I liked when Elijah got the ball and was involved in the play against Adelaide. Just didn't get there enough. So maybe that be a lever to allow him to be a bit more involved and get a bit more run around it that I think can hopefully quell a bit of what GWS are attempting to do. Those are kind of my changes this week. But it's tough. We just don't have a lot to overcome those challenges. We're kind of we're a Doherty and Jack Martin light right now. And a Motlop light, really.
Totally. So then with on the pyramid thing, then is this you putting a line through the double rucks for this season?
I wouldn't say
what can change.
Well, I wouldn't say for this season. I'd say for now. I would say I liked how because the forward line isn't functioning amazingly. We've got more injuries to a Fogarty. It's not ideal. I want more space in that forward 50, because we've got so many smalls running through there with the three, and I want more separation. I want Harry involved more. It was working. It didn't work in one case. I know that's maybe a silly thing to say, but I'm saying let's pause that right now. If Pitto can't play more than 49%, let's pause it, bring more run into this team, and use what worked well right now. If we need, we're going to use it at some stages, I'm sure. I just don't think GWS is the right game, because I also feel like it made TDK worse. I thought it was not a great game from him.
Agree. I'm so frustrated by this situation.
If you go the Ruckman and you want Carolyn, who comes out? Is it one of the three small?
But this is the thing. I do agree with you that I would be doing the same. I guess I'm frustrated. Mm-hmm. Because if we pull Pittman out now, I just don't understand how I don't see a scenario where we are thriving with both of them in there. But I know that's a small sample size, what we just saw, but like we've signed this guy for however many years it was, and he can't do anything but be pure ruck. And it's 2024. Yeah. It's just not acceptable.
I think I agree. We get a lot more with less. The net positive of what you get out of that extra player, I don't think you need to play two rucks. And how many teams right now are playing two rucks?
Yeah, I know.
Aren't super dynamic. There's not a lot of them. Yeah. So, yeah, I agree. Totally. But what do you want to see from this game, Lockie? We've made our somewhat brief changes. Looking at those that are out, what are you wanting to see from this contest? Obviously, it's a win, but we've talked about all the issues. Are any of them overcoming this?
It's a very interesting question. Like it I guess goes back to like the optimism that I do take out of this loss. Like I genuinely don't think a lot of this actually has to change for us to put in a good performance this week. With whatever you want to call it, a reality check. Like us being undefeated for the first time in God knows how long, like 4-0, and then have this game. Like I have faith that we're just going to be able to bounce back. I guess I don't have anything that isn't a cliche. The pressure. If we don't see that the pressure part, there's just no way that we win. It's just not going to happen.
No, and I agree. And this is why it feels like it's been a bit of a depressing episode, but it's kind of, it's just been us going through each element of what has been working so far this year. Because in a loss, you can kind of isolate those and emphasize them a little bit more. And like, we've got a really tough run of fixtures coming up. We're playing a lot of the best teams, and it's frustrating that we don't have that sort of personnel and the options out of it. But I don't know. And I was going to ask you this earlier, and I've kind of pivoted to it. So sorry to take you away from what we were just talking about. But I know injuries are far from ideal, and I'd rather be in a position where all these guys are available. We've got a healthy list. But recently we've kind of been – we haven't been the hunter. We've been the one that has been hunted. This is a new thing for this team.
Sure.
Are we maybe not 100% ready for that? Do we need to be the underdog? And is there, and this is ridiculous, and it's a bit of hyperbole, it's a bit of me trying to find the silver lining in this, trying to find that glass half full. But the silver lining in this injury crisis is we kind of go back to being the underdogs. Does that take a bit of pressure off? And is that a positive in a way that you can take from this, where we're not going to be that team that is, the pressure's not on us to necessarily dominate and win all these games, because you can have a few excuses. And is there a bit of a positive in that? I know it's stupid to suggest it, but
holy shit, Ian.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. Do you think we are? We're the favorite. We're the favorite right now going into this game.
Really?
$1.81.
I would say we are not the favorite to win this at all.
So what is, like, what? Yeah, so even before checking that, I don't know. Maybe I'm underestimating the injuries.
I
still feel like we're in a really good position.
Well, I would have said we would have been even going into this before the injuries and the loss, and probably the performance.
Right.
But yeah. I think GWS are a better team than us right now, even fully healthy on what I have seen. So I would say that they're the favorite. It's at home, so it sort of levels things out. Injuries for, I know they've got some injuries too. No Canelio, no Taylor, but they beat us without Taylor last year anyway. Didn't seem to worry them.
True.
I do think GWS are just a better team than us currently. Doesn't mean we can't win. Obviously, we bring all the good things and we're absolutely fine. And that goes kind of back to your point where I agree. What do you want to see is a defense first performance. We rank number one for tackles inside 50 this season. GWS are 16th for tackles inside 50. Let's use that to our advantage. Lock it in. I don't want to be conceding any more goals from kick-ins. If we can sort that out, bring that pressure, and that kind of is what I was alluding to in that more be the hunter rather than the team being on the back foot hunted per se, that old cliche where maybe that loss, maybe these injuries can get us to go towards more what we saw in those must-win games last season when we were under the pump, we had a few injuries, and it was just this mentality switch of, you know, what do we got to lose? Let's go out there, hunt from the start. We have to bring the pressure. We can't rely on individual talent. Does that help us gear towards that all-out attack?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. It's such a, man, I know I mentioned this earlier. It's so hard for me to take a step back in these situations because, like, I want to say yes. I want to say that we're going to have to give out everything in this game to be able to get that victory. But we just saw in this game what happens when one team just doesn't seemingly rock up for whatever reason and the other team has a lot to prove. The Giants are sitting, are they in the top of the ladder at the moment?
They have not lost a game, number one.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know. Like, part of me is also going to say that maybe we aren't going to have to be able to be our 100% best, and we are going to be able to get across the line because that's just the way that footy works. Like, I have no fucking idea what we're going to get in this game. Would you be surprised if we lost by 6 goals? Would you be surprised if we won by 6 goals?
Yeah, it could have literally.
I'd be surprised if we won by 6 goals.
I'd probably be slightly surprised, but I'd be very happy.
Yeah, I would be.
In its... Yeah, I'm trying to look at it. I'm not, you know, being super, super depressed in how things are going at the moment because it's one loss and you're going to have losses this season. You're going to have slumps. You're not going to play amazing every single game. That's football. We're prepared for that. It's about what we learn, what we take from it, and how we can improve. And those are the areas that I want to see us improve in. And another one, I guess, this game is want more separation from the key forwards. We spoke about the connection inside 50 and how that has maybe not been 100% this year. And
it
doesn't feel like there's a lot of space inside 50 for us. And I want our smalls to get out of the way, be a bit more crumbing. And you look at the stats, we're 13th for marks inside 50. this season. So clearly the entry and the movement inside 50 needs to be better. Any idea on where GWS rank for marks inside 50 so far this year?
Oh, I have no idea.
They rank second. So something to watch out for. I don't know. I don't have that on me. I don't jot those stats down. I don't have about 1,000 screens in front of me, Lockie. I jot down just what I need. After last week. But so that's a bit of a thing for me, that their ball movement is allowing them better entries, better space, better looks inside 50. So clearly defense needs to be on top, but we just need to get better at that area, particularly when you've got the two best key forwards in the competition, need to be feeding them in a better way. Is there any other things that you think we need to see this week?
I don't know the right question to ask you just on what you were saying then, but like I said before, I get frustrated when we kick to a player on a lead when it isn't, you know, it doesn't feel like the right situation. Yet we also get frustrated when we just send it to the top of the goal square. Like, do you see any kind of like rebalancing in that regard of like tactics? Like, do you think that we should be hitting leads more? Do you think we shouldn't be trying to, you know, like, like, is that out of balance? Like, because I think you said earlier you feel like it's more of a game plan coaching thing than a personnel thing. So, like, do you want to see Charlie and Harry leading more? Less?
I think different. I just want more targets. More separation at the moment. At times when things aren't going well and it seems as if they're all huddled together, and that's not ideal, clearly. You need it at stages, but I don't know. And this is it. Like, we clearly aren't, because it's never been amazing, the best coached forward half team. We're great when there is space, when we win quickly from clearance, and we've been able to score well off turnover this season. So clearly there has been slow increments and improvements, but have you been able to say consistently with this iteration of this team that the front half has been amazing with entry inside 50 and the game plan of how we move the ball from mid-forward connection? No, it's always been an issue. So is it a personnel thing? Do we need to sort this out? Because I go back to the depth chart and my main, clearly something at the end of the season needs to change. I'm not saying that's sack Russell. I'm not saying it's bring someone else in. I'm not saying what this is in particular, but something will need to be adjusted. Part of me goes, you know, you've got Jack Martin, you've got Cunningham, you've got Silvani. All three of those players miss game time. Bit stiff on Jack. I know it's an ACL this year, but he's never consistently out there. He has little injury niggles here or there. But I'm looking at that kind of mid-forward connection there. And is it just a case of we need to invest more in players that can play those roles that have durability? Are we simply not playing well in this area because four out of our fucking best six aren't available? Out of that right now, it's Elijah Hollins and Matty Cottrell that we mark as those general half forwards that are available. That's clearly not good enough. So what are we doing in that space? I know Fogarty's a stiff injury on that front, but clearly something's going to need to change. Is it just personnel? Is it coaching? I think it's clearly both, but I'm at the moment... Yeah. Because we've got the injuries, I'm putting on the coaches to find out a way to get it about this, because the best teams do.
I agree. No, well said. That's the biggest head scratcher for me, to be honest. Yeah. Like, there isn't an obvious solution in that one, so I don't envy the coaches. Yeah. But fix it!
Yes. So, Lockie, I want to go to the Gorilla Corner, because I do have a bit of the what do we need to overcome that'll lead us to victory, but I don't want to touch on all the points too much, because I know there's going to be some great juicy questions to put us in the hot seat today. And so I want to make sure I don't completely just answer them all before we get to them. So Lockie, we chuck them out on the socials at Navy Blue Corner on Twitter and Instagram. What have the lovely people had to say this week?
Well, they always come through with the goods, but we always do a great job of like addressing them all before we actually get to it, which, you know.
Maybe we've got to adjust something there. Do the questions at the start.
There's probably something there. You want to do some podcast admin right now? Is that what we're doing?
Why not?
No. So, I mean, I'll call out some of the things that, you know, we've already talked about. Like I said, T-Dubs, Call out for the Keys contract is obviously a good one. Brad Nicol asked if we were the match committee, would you be reluctant to drop Pitto given the outs? I think we've kind of agreed. We unfortunately will be making way. From Dom in the Den, more soft tissue injuries that you can poke a stick at. Which line are you most concerned about? Is it the backs, mids, or forwards? And will we eventually get to our best 22 assembled this year? I like the end of that question.
Please, I hope so. I hope so. And you need it for the back half of the season. So if you go on a glass half full,
do you genuinely think
hopefully,
we will?
I just want Jack Martin back, please, because we've got no one else that can play that role, which is clearly a list issue. It's definitely the front half. We've got a lot of halfbacks, and I think Saad will be back. McGovern won't miss too much time either. Chera won't miss a lot. Just frustrating that you finally get Walshy back, and then you lose everyone else. I know Nick Negropontis on Twitter is like, it's like you have to trade a soul every time you get a player back off the injury list, which I think that's one of the funniest things that I've heard on that. But yeah, front half is an issue. We don't have. It's not that we don't have great small forwards, but no one's really proven themselves so far. And Motlop was probably ahead of that. To not have him is frustrating. And then to lose out on all the other connectors is an issue. But yeah, just we need them out there, clearly, back half of the season.
So Shane Harrison asked this on Instagram. Fantasia, is he adding value? So I kind of spoke about the smalls earlier, but I feel like you didn't go into it. Where are you at with the three of them? Because this was a game where obviously Bot was the sub. So the three of them were out there for the full game. Like, I know that our options down there aren't significant, but I don't know. Like, we talk about Pitto playing half a game and the output that we get from him. But I just wonder if you look at the collective output of the three smalls, is it enough? Like, he's playing
it's
three
not.
Small forwards. Yeah.
The output clearly isn't enough right now. I would say that with the loss of Fogarty, I think Durden's the one now really bringing like the – it's actually using Moneyball correctly in trying – well, it's the aggregate. We got to replace him with multiple people here. And that's kind of what I guess with Fogarty, it seems as if at the moment Fantasia's playing a bit higher up the ground in more of that connecting Fogarty role, but Durden's bringing that tackle pressure. And it's not ideal. It's not the best thing to have in this time and place, but I'm not sure what else we can be doing with who we have available. The only other suggestion really is a Moya comes in, but I just want him to just keep developing in the twos.
Yeah,
I have not seen enough where I'm seeing yes, he's going to be a better output than what we currently are getting. Maybe I'll be proven wrong in that because he plays slightly different as a bit more of a marking option. But even when I'm seeing the high half forwards and changing it there, who do you bring in? Do you bring in Bins? Is he a bit more run around that area that fixes that problem? So you're just playing two smalls? Because I agree. I don't think the output we're getting from the three of them is amazing. I'd say always is performing the best out of all of them and didn't have a great game, but I thought he was the best out of all three. Has that moment at the end.
Agree.
But it's what we said about Freo last week. If you're putting yourself in the position where you need like always to kick that goal to win the game, then you're not doing enough. When we put ourselves 16 points up, we should have held on to that. It shouldn't come down to always needing to kick that goal. So I'm not blaming him for it. But yeah, we need more out of Durden. We need more out of Fantasia. They've just got to simply step up. There's no one else really at this stage.
That is
to be very grim.
That is grim. It is. But I don't disagree. From Micah, how huge has Boydie been? You definitely
love him.
Agree.
Love
you
Boyd.
Absolutely love him. Gee, I know you'll love this one. From Baggers Are Flaggers 24, elite username. Should Dom be given a shot this weekend? Your man Dom. But you weren't expecting a question about Dom.
I wasn't, but it's more because he got absolutely killed on the weekend in the VFL. Absolutely taken out and went off basically with like concussion. So he's definitely not available for selection regardless.
Everybody's
injured. So unfortunately, that is the case. And no, I just don't think he's at that stage yet.
We got a question. Another question about: are we happy with the Pitto experience, which we've touched on? Mm. And I feel like this final one will be a nice way to lead into, honestly, my favorite segment: the freaking Ian ramp up, get everybody excited. So this question from Luca: how do we make sure that we don't fall into the same slump like last year?
Mm.
Which is good. Weirdly, that's what we're trying to do here. It's a big picture question. Step back.
Yes.
How do we make sure that this was just a blip and doesn't become a pattern?
I think we're mature enough now that we aren't that team. And we may get losses, but I don't envision that the performances will be where they were at the front half of last year, where nothing was working and we couldn't sort it out, because we've now got the evidence. And that's something that goes a long way for players mentally. Now that you know and you've got that experience and you know how to get out of certain situations, I think personnel-wise, there's confidence in what they're doing. There's confidence in that. It's more just right now, for me, a coaching thing, where how are we able to sort out and fine-tune a few of these little discrepancies? How can we balance the clearance game and the, you know, winning the ball off turnover? How can we balance that and make sure we're not leaning too far either way? How can we make sure the team defense isn't at the point it was last week? Those are just how is the mid-forward connection working? Just little things. And that's why I'm not, you know, if we sit here in 5 weeks' time and everything's turned to shit, then let's talk about it. Then let's address it. But until that happens, why overreact? Like, it seems as if we have been quite negative on this, but just because we wanted to shed spotlight on the issues and try to fix them. And yeah, I'm not thinking that that's ever going to happen again with this team, because they're going to get challenged, but I have so much more faith that we can overcome it, because you look at that game against Adelaide. We had more scoring shots. We're up 16 points. Sometimes you just lose, and sometimes that is just what happens. We come back, we beat GWS, and no one is going to be saying anything, and that's just the wild thing. So what do we need to overcome that will lead us to victory? Lockie, it's clearly the Giants' fast ball movement. They're the number one handball team in the competition. Their kick-to-handball ratio is 1.3. Uh-huh. It is 1.6, 1.7. So clearly we kick it a little bit more. They are third for uncontested possessions. We're currently 15th. Some part of that's game style. But, you know, currently the teams that are below us for uncontested possessions are Collingwood, Hawthorn, and West Coast. That's slightly concerning. That needs to be changed and flipped around. But we know that they are a team that builds from the back. So don't get beaten by what you know. Against Adelaide, it was their ball movement and Ben Keys. We know GWS are a team that from defensive 50, move the ball with fast, short handballs through the middle, rebounding. I don't want to be sitting here this time next week saying we didn't have an answer for it, took too long to adjust.
Oh, God.
No. I want to be the team that finally quells the opposition's weapons. It's not a sense of, oh, their strengths, you know, overcome our weaknesses. No. We know what to expect, so let's have a plan and sort that out, because they play that all-out attack, the Orange Tsunami, as it's been dubbed. You know, how do we overcome that? And interestingly, I thought St. Kilda at stages did that really well. They moved it slow, and did we need to just hold possession a little bit more in that Adelaide game, slow the pace of it down and just chip it around? There were elements of that, but then we kind of went that long outlet kick rather than just holding on to possession. And this is kind of a stupid thing, but why don't teams, if there's no clear option, you know how sometimes you'll get the ball on one side, chip it, okay, we've moved to the other side, there's nothing, swing it back. Why don't you just keep doing that until you get an option? No one's ever tried it. Maybe because it's just the dumbest thing of all time. I'm not a coach, so someone who's a coach, let me know. But it seems like every time you kind of give up and you go, okay, we've got to go now, where you can keep doing it. Like, that's how it works in soccer. You just keep moving it until you find the space. So that's, for me, an area where St. Kilda were amazing at it. They scored 11 times against GWS from building from the back half with short sort of tempo kicks. So my big thing for us this week is just be smart. When we need to go slow, do it. And quell GWS. We can 100% beat them, mate. We've got the weapons. We've got the midfield. Sammy Walsh came back first game and, mate, he was the best person on the field by far. Imagine him in his second game when he's got Pitto out of there. Don't need that big lumbering giant.
You're so off him.
Causing a ruckus on the bench. Bring in Jack Carroll. Bring a bit of the run back in. And, you know, sometimes you just need a little bit of a reset. And Adelaide, we knew they were going to come out hot. They hadn't won a game of footy. GWS have got their injury issues too. We're at Marvel. Reset. Go again. Chincotta will probably be out there. We'll be able to see a few more of our depth players that can hopefully hold us in good stead come the end of the season when everyone's fit and firing and you've got a few guys to choose from and you've seen how they've all performed throughout the year. So I'm not too concerned, Lockie, because we're 4-1, mate. If you asked me, could we be 4-1 heading into GWS, I would have said yes, please. Haven't been perfect, but you don't have to be perfect right now, Lockie. It's all about building into the season and what you can take from your losses, your performances. And can we learn from it and grow? That is the big question. Hopefully it gets answered this week. Lockie, anything else from you in lovely London before we wrap up this podcast?
It's just incredible how this podcast, it doesn't matter where we start at the 1 minute mark. We're always feeling good by the end. And my God, that $1.81 right now, that's, you know, it should be $1.10 because we're about to absolutely crush
it. We're not losing. We are not losing this one, but no, let us know all your thoughts on everything we have covered in the comments below if you're watching on YouTube, mate. And if you haven't liked this video, if you're not subscribed to Blue Abroad, what are you doing? Make sure you jump on that right now. If you're listening in podcast form, make sure you follow us so you never miss an episode. We'll be here every single Wednesday. Head over to the socials at Navy Blue Corner just to make sure you interact with us, get your questions in. And most importantly, the merch, Lockie, is still available. We've got currently all sizes at time of recording are available. So if you're small, medium, large, XL, double XL, whatever you need, buy it for your mum, buy it for your dad, buy it for your pet. I don't care. I will stop talking about this when we sell out. So if you want to shut me up, buy the merch. But yeah, every dollar goes to support what we do here. And honestly, to everyone that has bought a tee, as much as I'll ramble on about it, it's amazing that people care enough to spend their money on us and to buy a tee. Always incredibly grateful for it. So thanks to everyone that has done so far. But that is going to wrap this episode up. We'll be back next week to run through and just reflect on a massive win against GWS and then build up on our next game. Up the bloody baggers. See you guys next time.